there is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will bring it to a whisper. For the next hour, sit quietly and we shall control all that you hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
And now, it's time for the radio show that covers just about every topic. Because variety is the spice of life. From the arcane and unusual to current events and practical tips. Because if it's interesting, they'll be talking about it. And now, here's Bill and Allison Mancara.
Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, Bill.
We are bright and chipper on a nice, cool morning, Saturday morning.
I know it's cool. Jiminy Christmas.
Yeah, it's very, very pleasant out there. I still have a little frog in my throat, so I may cough every once in a while. And Allison, the same way.
We both
took a cruise.
Yes,
we cruise. Took a cruise.
Came home sick.
Came home sick. So that's. But the cruise was worth it anyway. Well, we are Bill and Allison. We're sometimes wrong.
But we're always right.
Right. We're always right. Fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice.
And the American way.
And we are never PC, are we, Allison?
No, we are not.
Politically correct. No, we...
I never have been.
I don't think I've never been politically correct. But we are probably PI.
And we came from Washington, D.C.
We worked in Washington, D.C.
Politically incorrect.
Yeah, they didn't like us there very much. We worked on Capitol Hill for members of Congress, and were there for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. And you were in the government. I was in the government before that, executive branch.
I was too.
Yeah, yeah. And although we didn't know each other, mm-mm. we worked in the same agency, but didn't know each other. And Allison has organized conservative political action conferences and
CPACs.
CPACs, and worked for the American Conservative Union and all sorts of folks. Mm-hmm. So she has more credentials than I do. So, yeah, but we are trying to be politically incorrect. That's our nature.
But no, we're trying. We
that's
are.
Our nature.
We
yeah, are. I shouldn't say trying. It's not trying at all. But most importantly, we strive to be BC, biblically correct. Mm-hmm. And I am a native Texan from the Panhandle. And Allison, you are.
I'm Native American
in not only in the sense that you were born in America, I was born in Texas, but you are part Chickasaw Indian. Yeah, your tribe originated, a lot of people don't know, in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Beautiful mm-hmm. Tennessee, and then was taken to the not so beautiful no man's land of Arizona on the Oklahoma on the Trail of Tears.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a trigger warning for you. Allison and I identify as non-binary. We are non-binary, so just be aware of that. We like to bookend our show with a verse, and this is from the book of Joshua in the Bible. The very, very comforting verse. I used to I memorized it, and when we were first learning to scuba dive, I said it to myself many times as I got afraid to go to jump into, 500 or 10,000 foot water or whatever it was.
We didn't go to 10,000 feet.
We didn't
water.
Go to 10,000.
Well, no, I take that
deep.
Back. We were in water that was 10,000 feet
point.
Deep.
That's
but we
my
did
point.
Not go that deep.
No. Joshua, have I not commanded you, the Lord says, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go, even to the depths of the seas. There is a verse like that. Mm-hmm. But C.S. Lewis wrote, the great thing, if one can, is to stop regarding all the unpleasant things as interruptions of one's own or real life. The truth is, of course, that what one calls the interruptions are precisely one's real life, the life God is sending you day by day. Day.
And I have that quote taped on my computer.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, this week in Texas history, in 1896, the celebrated crash at Crush occurred. Have you heard of the crash at Crush?
No.
I hadn't heard of it until I just did some research on this week.
I've never heard of it.
In Texas history. It occurred 15 miles north of Waco. It was a publicity stunt for the Katy Railroad. Two railroad engines were deliberately crashed head-on at the non-existent town of Crush. They just made that up. Elaborate preparations, extensive publicity brought a crowd of more than 40,000 to witness the event. After a two-mile run, the two engines met in a fiery crash. Something went wrong, though. Flying debris killed three people.
Oh, my gosh.
And injured six more.
Oh, my gosh.
By nightfall, the site was abandoned. In the early 20th century, Scott Joplin commemorated the event in a song called The Great Crush Collision. How about that? It's called The Crash at Crush. And on this week in 1866, the first producing oil well in Texas came in at a depth of 106 feet at Oil Springs in Nacogdoches County. Produced about 10 barrels a day, but the low price of oil and the political unrest accompanying Reconstruction made the development of the field unfeasible. But that happened in 1866, the first oil well in Texas. How about that? Well, I guess you're not impressed. I was. I thought that was pretty cool. We've got a lot to talk about in the next couple hours. We have an interview with B.G. Pierce coming right up. We're going to talk about the Ken Paxton impeachment and some things you may not know about that. And the governor of New Mexico and her deciding to become the queen of the universe by suspending the Second Amendment in parts of New Mexico, and just all sorts of stuff that we got planned for you today.
The entire state of New Mexico?
No. Just Albuquerque, Bernalillo County, a few others. No, not the entire state. Don't correct your husband. Gee.
Especially on the radio.
Especially on the radio.
No, I thought it was the entire state.
Allison is always, you know, I'll do a story. You probably, if you listen to our show, I'll do a story, and I'll say, you know, blah, 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 and she'll say, well, you know, who is the other person involved? Or, well, what's the background of that? I don't know. I give you all the information that I have, that I've researched. She's good about that. No, that's... Anyway. Big news, big doings in Albert, Texas, down the road from Johnson City and Fredericksburg. As you may be aware, a festival company, I guess you'd call it. I don't know what you call them. Wants to put on a music festival. They're calling it a wine festival. It's a, you know, music festival. They say it will attract...
Music festival where you drink wine.
There you go. And probably a lot of other stuff. And they're claiming 30,000 or more people showing up at this festival in Albert.
At Albert.
In a cornfield in Albert, where there's no facilities for anything.
Yeah.
And there was a big meeting on this on Friday. And
this coming Friday?
No, this past Friday. Okay. So BG Pierce, who is really involved, member of the Stonewall Chamber of Commerce, a local resident there, real nice guy. And he's a fellow panhandler, by the way.
I did not know that.
I'm not saying we're both beggars, not in that sense, but we're both from a panhandle. He's from Turkey. Texas.
No kidding.
Home of Bob Wills.
I was going to say, who else is from Turkey?
Yeah, you knew that, Allison. Very good. Yeah, home of Bob Wills and B.G. Pierce. There you go. So we talked to B.G. the other day, and let's hear what he had to say.
Well, we're with B.G. Pierce today, and he's a member of the Stonewall Chamber of Commerce in Gillespie County, and he's been very involved in an issue that's affecting a lot of landowners and residents of the county, particularly in the Stonewall Albert area. BG, thanks for coming on the Bill Nelson Show today. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for having us again. We appreciate it.
Give us a little background for those who may not be familiar with what's been going on with this proposed festival.
Okay. Probably the shortest version of it is that 2 months ago, a month ago, we found out that a promoter wanted to come into the area, basically have a 30,000 person a day wine festival camp out for 3 days in a very remote part of Gillespie County, which is Albert area off of 1623, and just kind of caught us off guard. We'd never had a challenge like this before because of the logistics, safety, landowners. I mean, the list goes on. And so we united together, both as a community and then also through a foundation that we've started called Preserving Albert, Texas, LLC, a non-profit, and had a hearing in the county court yesterday, which is part of a process, what's called a Mass Gatherings Act permit that's required for any assembly of over 5,000 people in the state of Texas. And we went to the hearing. The judge, Jones, heard both sides, both from the promoter and also from the community. And after several hours of testimony, he went in and deliberated and basically came back and denied the permit. So that was good news for us.
Mm-hmm. Why, before we get in a little more into the weeds on this, what's the objection to having this festival?
Well, the main objection is there's no infrastructure. I mean, it's not like having it in a small town or city. We have no sewer, water, electrical, traffic jams on small roads, logistics of getting EMS, fire department, law enforcement in or out. It's basically putting 30,000 people in a 400-acre corn farm. And the community, like I said, there's it's egress and ingress in this area is just limited for day-to-day traffic. And remotely being probably 20 to 30 miles from any facility that had hospitals or support. So there's probably 30 reasons in there that we didn't want it. It wasn't as much about the landowner being able to what he wanted to do. It was the promoter of what he was bringing here that we're not prepared for. And as everybody knows, with the eclipse coming up, at the same time, the month of April, we're already going to be strained as it is with 100,000 plus people coming in. It was just bad timing, bad location, and bad planning is the way I'd sum it up.
So the permit was denied this week. Is that the end of the road here? Is it definitely canceled, or do you have more work to do?
It's a good question. We're ready to do more work if necessary. The ball has kind of been the promoter's hands. From what I understand, I'm not an attorney, but they had the right to appeal this to a district court. The question we don't know is they were scheduled for a commissioner's meeting that's on a separate application that has to do with health and occupation that goes through the county commissioner's court. We don't know at this time, since it was rejected by the county judge, will it still be able to go to the commissioner's court because they don't have the permit. So okay. Our expectations are that this may not be over. But, you know, we're prepared for it.
We certainly want you to keep us updated if there's anything that happens on this front. I understand you have a Facebook page on this. Could you tell people how they could access that?
Yes. If you'll just get on Facebook and look up BG Pierce, this initial BG, P-I-E-R-C-E, and request, and I can put you into the Facebook or accept you in.
Well, B.G. Pierce, we sure appreciate you taking a leadership role in this. I'm sure the people in the area are very grateful to you, and keep up the good fight. And we're here at the Hill Country Patriot Radio. We're all behind you, and we'll help you as much as we possibly can.
Bill, I appreciate it. And just to say a little bit about our community, when this was announced yesterday, 100 people got up peacefully, no cheering or nothing. Shook hands and left. So I can't say enough about the community that got involved with this. That's where it really came from, was 100 plus people that came up to express their beliefs.
That was BG Pierce, fighting the good fight, keeping a nightmare out of Albert and Gillespie County.
Keeping the riffraff out.
Thank you, BG. Thanks all of you who are involved in that fight. Keep it up. Well, when we come back from our short break, real quick break, what was the worst recorded natural disaster ever to strike the North American continent? And it was right here in Texas. You'll find out.
I know.
In just a couple of minutes.
I know. I've been there. Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, first couple of TexasRadio.com.
That's our website. You can hear all of our past shows, download them to your favorite device, and listen at your leisure. First couple of TexasRadio.com.
24/7.
24/7, yeah. That's right. The web.
You can listen to us in the middle of the night.
The interweb is on 24/7.
That's right.
You can goggle us there.
That's right.
And also hillcountrypatriot.com. Mm-hmm. Everybody ought to go there and see all of the other great Hill Country Patriots that are on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, our you can hear us live at on hillcountrypatriot.com. And people do. All over the world we hear from people.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. And we are very – I just got the – got the report on how many people tune in from what countries tune in at hillcountrypatriot.com, Allison.
Mm-hmm.
The Bill and Allison show is apparently close to being the number one show in the country of Andorra. We are huge in Andorra.
Do you know where Andorra is?
I have no idea. I think it's next to Switzerland or Australia.
Okay.
Close, you know, I'm real close there. Anyway, we're on at 104.3 in Kerrville and 102.1 in Fredericksburg. And, of course, hillcountrypatriot.com. And we are the Hill Country Patriot. We're known as the information station for the entire Hill Country. And that includes Kerrville and Johnson City and Fredericksburg and Bandera and Ingram, Johnson City, Comfort. What am I thinking of? Hunt, Mountain Home, Center Point, all of Harper, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
All over Hill Country.
Mm-hmm.
We are the information station. Well, before we took a little break there, Allison and I asked you, what was the worst recorded natural disaster ever to strike the North American continent?
And I know.
And you know. In fact,
I've been there.
We've been there, and we both read a book about it. Eric Larson's
book. That's true.
Isaac Storm, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So great book if you want to read about it.
Well, and he's an excellent author.
Oh, he is anyway. Eric Larson.
In addition to this, yeah.
Yeah, he wrote The Devil in White City, which is about H.H. Holmes and the Chicago World's Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And he's written a book about the Titanic, which I don't remember the name of the book. And I don't remember if I've read the book.
Oh, I think I have read it.
Okay.
But I, yeah,
anyway,
right,
Eric
right.
Larson, if you want a real good history, it's not a dry history at all. Any of his books are very entertaining. It's kind of like a James Michener type of book. It mixes fact and a little fiction, but it's historic fiction.
Historical fiction is what that's called.
All right, well, you want to enlighten us, Allison, as to what the worst recorded natural disaster ever to strike North America?
Well, I'll let you, since you have the data in front of
you. Say what it is, and then I'll fill in.
It's a hurricane that hit Galveston in, what was it, 1906?
No, 1900.
1900, Okay.
September 8th, 1900. Mm-hmm. It was, of course, they didn't have any warnings back then.
Right.
It's just wham, bam, there it is.
Yeah.
And so they were not prepared for it at all. A third of Galveston, the city itself, was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea how many people died.
Aren't they guessing about 6,000?
You're right. Exactly right. 6 to 8 is what they say, but they have no clue. People were washed out to sea.
Right.
People just, they didn't, that wasn't their priority to count how many dead bodies there were.
Right.
The Galveston Island was completely inundated. Property loss was estimated, and I looked this up because they give you a figure at the time, but that doesn't mean anything to us. But in today's dollars, over $1 trillion of losses.
Wow.
It is the worst recorded natural disaster ever to strike North America. The Galveston Hurricane of 1900. What you got? You're looking at me like you have a story you want to tell.
So you're looking at me.
I'm looking at you, baby.
Did you realize that this past week the governor of New Mexico suspended the Second Amendment?
I certainly did know that.
Mm-hmm.
The governor of New Mexico, and her name is Michelle
Lujan.
Lujan Grisham. I don't know if she's really the Manny Lujan. That's a fairly common name.
Well, that's true. That's true, but I was assuming that she was.
I mean, Manny Lujan would roll over in his grave if she was related to him.
Well, the fact that she uses her maiden name makes me suspect that she is perhaps related.
I don't know. I didn't look it up. But didn't you tell me one local news reader? What did he call her?
I think here on this station.
Never mind. Don't say it. Okay. She thinks
he was not local. He was national.
Oh,
which
on
makes
the network.
It even worse.
Yeah,
network.
He's a network. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
She has suspended the Second Amendment in New Mexico.
Well, parts of New Mexico. Yeah.
Which is ironic because that's where Bill and I, in New Mexico, is where Bill and I learned officially how to shoot. And
well, that's a good point. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that's where we took our first gun safety course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We learned first in the house, just sitting around and holding the pistol and learning all about it, and then we went out on the range.
Yeah, I told. Now I've been shooting since I was a kid. I used to go hunting with my dad, but not pistols. This was a little different, and so it was quite a few years ago. And I remember telling our instructor, I said, "Well, to be honest with you, I'm afraid of guns." And he says, "Great, you ought to be. You ought to be afraid of guns. That's a good ad. Don't have a macho attitude about guns. It's going to get you in big trouble."
Mm-hmm.
So that's she called it a public health emergency, and that's the cover she used to suspend the Second Amendment for many New Mexicans. My question, Allison, why shouldn't she suspend all the amendments? I mean, if she can just declare the Second Amendment is gone,
right.
I'm the governor, so I can suspend the Second Amendment. Well, even the state attorney general said he wasn't going to enforce that. You can't just declare part of the Constitution void. She says, "Well, it's a public health emergency." And when asked in a press conference to defend this, the governor of New Mexico, Michelle Lujan Grisham, said, quote, "No constitutional right is intended to be absolute." And you know what I wish, Allison? I wish that I'd been there as a reporter, because I would have said, "Oh, governor, no constitutional right is intended to be absolute." "No, it isn't. It's not. None of them are absolute." "How about, governor, does that include the 19th Amendment giving women the right to vote?" What would she say to that?
Good question.
What would she say to that?
Very good question.
Yeah. "How about the 13th Amendment that abolished slavery? Huh?" "That's not absolute. We can get rid of that." Yeah. Now, she used the murder of an 11-year-old boy in Albuquerque, run by Democrats. By the way, Albuquerque's had one Republican mayor since 1985.
And Albuquerque is notoriously dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's run by Democrats,
crime-ridden.
Like every other Democrat big city. Mm-hmm. It's Cloward Piven is what I'm going to get to that in a minute. But, no sane person thinks that banning guns is going to save a single life. I mean, in fact, sane people know what happens when criminals know everyone is helpless and unarmed, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, what is she thinking at all? I mean, this woman, this may be enough to get rid of her, I hope. The problem in these Democrat cities is not law-abiding people carrying guns to protect themselves. That's not the problem. The problem is that these cities are criminally mismanaged by the people that run them. Of course, the real problem is the idiot voters who vote for them.
Right.
Well,
I was advised when I was very young, well, early 20s, by policemen, because my apartment had been burgled, and I was advised by them to get a gun.
Yeah.
But they said get a gun, but get training, mm-hmm. and you have to be willing to shoot to kill.
Didn't they advise you that if somebody breaks into your apartment, kill them, don't injure them, or is that somebody else?
I can't remember, but yeah. but they said be willing to shoot to kill. You don't want to shoot to injure someone. You have to be willing to shoot to kill.
And
if you're not, do not have a gun.
Yeah, you shoot to injure somebody, they're going to sue you into the next century.
Or they'll take your gun and shoot you.
Well, that's true too. Yeah, there was I just read this week about something, and I don't remember where it happened, but some lowlife broke into somebody's house, and the homeowner had a gun. And the guy was coming up the stairs, and he was threatening him and everything. He was going to kill him and all that. So he shot him, and the lowlife said, "You're going to have to kill me." He kept coming. He was probably high on something. Mm-hmm. He says, "You're going to have to kill me." So the guy did. Well, you asked for it, man. But, this is going back to Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham of New Mexico. She's just punishing the law-abiding gun owners deliberately. People who should not be carrying guns are already outlawed from carrying guns. Hello, felons. They're already outlawed from carrying guns. But, all goes back to COVID. It really does. No, it does.
You're right.
It does.
You're right.
A public health emergency. State and local governments shut down small businesses.
Oh, right.
But they allowed the big box stores to scoop up their customers, mm-hmm. put small businesses out of business, mm-hmm. but keep the Walmarts and the Home Depots of the world open. They closed churches, but they left liquor stores open and marijuana dispensaries where they're legal. They banned funerals. But they allowed riots to go on and cheered them on. Mm-hmm. They forced us into wearing these stupid diapers on our face and social distancing while the rioters weren't required to have any of that stuff.
Exactly.
So, the government, we know now, the government bullied social media companies into censoring Americans who questioned the vaccine, the lockdowns, the diapers on the face.
Actually, haven't you been thrown off LinkedIn?
I was thrown off LinkedIn for...
Permanently.
Permanently. Absolutely permanently. I posted
our business account.
Our business account, yeah. Our business account posted a video of 50 medical professionals. This is early on when the vaccine first came out, questioning the vaccine, saying it wasn't tested enough. And of course, now we're seeing what's happened to mm-hmm. The horrible things that people who got the vaccine, some of them are going through. And LinkedIn immediately canceled our business account. No, they didn't give us a warning. They just canceled it. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it wasn't mm-hmm. there anymore.
Yeah.
And they said it's permanent. It is. You cannot appeal. It is permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so no, but this New Mexico thing. I mean, Democrats are deliberately, and I'm going to get to this in a minute. Why? People say, well, why would they do this? Deliberately mismanaging their cities into sewers so they can use their own mismanagement as a public health reason to suspend our rights. You say, why would Democrats allow that? That's why. Chaos, crises, murders of children and worse. Well, not anything worse, but that gives Democrats opportunities to seize power. It's called the Cloward Piven strategy. Some people call it Piven. And it's like the great replacement strategy to replace freedom-loving Americans with more compliant third world illegal immigrants who are used to socialism, who are used to the government giving them everything. That's what they're doing. Now, Cloward Piven, it's orchestrating a crisis so government can solve it. It's named after the two people who invented it. It's going to lead to the point is to lead to the complete control of people through communism. And there are four steps of it. Number one, overload and break the welfare system. Number two, deliberately have chaos. Number three, take control in the chaos. People will start begging for control, for more police, more supervision, more control, more laws. And then finally, implement communism through government force. Milton Friedman said, there's nothing so permanent as a temporary government program. And I think George Carlin had something to say about that. Is that not right, Allison?
I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me.
Thank you, George Carlin. Don't always agree with all of his stuff, but I sure...
You're stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, Governor Lujan.
Really, really
Governor
stupid.
Michelle Lujan Grisham. That should be her campaign theme song.
Mm-hmm.
You're stupid. Really, really stupid.
Yeah. Lujan. Well, I talk about Manny Lujan. Maybe people don't know who I'm talking about. Manuel Lujan.
Well, we were in D.C., so probably we have a lot of references that people don't get.
Yeah, maybe. I'm
so,
sorry.
So we need to explain them.
Well, I don't think of that, those things.
Yeah.
He was for many years a congressman from New Mexico, Republican, conservative, really nice guy. I had a friend who used to play poker with him every week, and but a very, very fine gentleman. At one time, well, I've sort of given it away. I was going to phrase it as a question. According to the, you know, these groups that do ratings of members of Congress, how conservative or how liberal they are, whatever. Well, the American Conservative Union used to rate, or maybe they still do, members of each member of Congress as to how they voted and how conservative are they. Is this person a 50, 60% conservative, a 20% conservative, a 90, 100%, whatever? What state of congressmen and U.S. senators, U.S. congressmen, U.S. senators, had the most conservative congressional delegation?
I know the answer. But...
yeah. It's New Mexico.
Right.
New Mexico once had the most conservative voting congressional delegation, congressmen and U.S. senators.
No longer. It's been a while.
That's right. That's right. So things change, and Democrats are jumping up and down about those changes, and that's what they want to do. You know, they open the borders to allow illegal Democrat voters in, prayer is important. Prayer and
they want the voters, and that businesses want cheap labor.
That's right. That's why Republicans, a lot of rhinos,
exactly.
Republicans in name only, support open borders because they've been bought off by the Chamber of Commerce's, you know, national, not local. But, you know, in the business and big business corporate interests. And so that's why they're for it. And it's, you know, people like McConnell, the Republican leader of the Senate, whose wife, Elaine Chao, was the Secretary of Transportation, I'm pretty sure, under Trump. She's Chinese heritage. And she comes from a very wealthy Chinese family. They own a large, I think it's transportation business, or you know, shipping business, I believe, who are very much tied in with the Chinese Communist Party, which you have to be if you own a big company in China. And she gets a whole lot of money from her family. And, of course, when I say she, I mean Mitch as well. So Mitch McConnell is bought and paid for by the Chinese Communist Party, and he's running the Republican show. In the Senate, not much longer, by the way. But you know, instead of Tweedledum, we'll get Tweedledee. That's the way they handle things like that.
Yeah, and believe it or not, I knew Mitch McConnell before he was anybody.
Did you really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I worked for an association that had a political action committee. We supported Mitch McConnell, and nobody else did.
I'm sorry. Well, I wouldn't admit that if I were you.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Embarrassed to admit that. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, he beat Dee Huddleston, as I recall.
Yes, exactly.
Is that right?
Exactly. The ad that was so famous.
Oh, the Bloodhound ad.
The Bloodhound ad.
Yeah.
That was so famous.
Yeah, that was one of the best political ads ever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we still have, speaking of great political ads, I don't think we, I'm looking at our board here. We've got a great political ad for a man running for Senate, U.S. Senate in Virginia, but we used to have it on the board.
What's his name?
It's an Asian name, and I can't remember the name.
Oh.
Anyway.
Yeah, okay. I know who you're talking about, but
I don't think it's on the board. We'll fix that next show.
Okay.
But And yeah, the bloodhound ad, as Allison brought up, it was a brilliant ad. It showed this guy with two bloodhounds, and he's going all over the Washington, D.C., and he's going all over Kentucky
yeah.
Looking for
the senator,
the incumbent senator.
D. Huddleston.
D. Huddleston, exactly. Looking for him. And the point was, you know, he's AWOL. Yeah, the point is he's AWOL, and he's not doing his job. And that worked. That got Mitch McConnell elected.
Yeah.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit about the Paxton impeachment. Maybe some things you don't know about it. We're Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station, back in a flash.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, first couple of TexasRadio.com.
Where you can hear all of our previous shows. We got, I don't know, a couple hundred or something. A little musical interlude for you.
Yeah, I'm the engineer, and sometimes I make a mistake.
Sometimes you miss the train. You miss the signals from the train.
Yes.
Yeah. A woman named Chaya Raichik. She, you may not know her name. I didn't know her name. But she created the account Libs of TikTok. Okay. Which you may be familiar with. Great. She posts all sorts of. What she does, all she does is take videos, usually videos, sometimes just printed stuff, of what these village idiots, these woke leftists have said, and posts them. And she doesn't comment on it. She doesn't change anything around. Just posts them, and people are outraged at it.
I was going to say she is so attacked.
Oh, she's attacked for that. Instead of attacking the people who do the crazy stuff, she's attacked. Anyway, Chaya Raichik, she's got a lot of death threats, media attacks, and primarily she exposes sick people who are coming after our kids, these perverts. Well, she's now written a children's book that teaches children never to keep secrets from their parents and how to spot adults who may be predators. And it's a children's book, okay? And it's kids' book is for ages 4 to 8, and it's like a sort of a Grimm's style fairy tale. It has a big bad wolf in it. The book is called No More Secrets, The Candy Cavern. No More Secrets, The Candy Cavern. I think we should get this book in every home, for every child, every grandchild, every public school library. You can buy a copy of it, or more than one, and support Chaya Raichik and get this book out. Go to Amazon or go to her website, which is LOTTBook, LOTTBOOK.com. I guess that stands for Libs of TikTok. So LOTTBook.com. That way she gets the money and she doesn't give any to Amazon. And the book, again, is called No More Secrets, The Candy Cavern, something we recommend that you do. Right, Allison?
That's correct. That's correct.
Well, we, for our break here, we talked about, whoops, I do drop something in my lap. Okay, before our break, talked a little bit about the Ken Paxton impeachment. If you've been following that at all, the impeachment of the most effective attorney general in the United States. He's sued the Biden administration. He's done all sorts of great work, and they're going after him. And the Senate is deliberating. They adjourned their case against him on Friday, and the Senate is deliberating. as to whether to vote to impeach him. If he gets impeached on one count, or convicted rather, and he's already been impeached, the House impeaches, the Senate convicts. One count, he's no longer the Attorney General. Here this week, Paxton's lawyer, Busby, probably in a couple of minutes, did the defining clip of the whole Paxton impeachment. And we had Allison and I got the audio, and this is what he has to say. This is Paxton's attorney questioning a former member of Paxton's staff who became a turncoat, a traitor, and turned on Paxton.
You went to the FBI and reported him for potential crimes without any evidence. Do I have that correct?
We went to the FBI and reported.
Please answer my question.
Our belief that criminal activity had occurred.
That was not my question.
Please answer the question, yes or no.
Could I ask it again, Mr. Vassar? I want to get this straight. You went to the FBI on September 30th with your compatriots and reported the elected attorney general of the state for a crime without any evidence. Yes?
That's right. We took no evidence.
Did you gain any after that? Did you gain any after that?
Well, we weren't collecting evidence.
Did you gain any after that?
Evidence of what, sir?
Of evidence of a crime committed by the elected attorney general in this state, elected by over 4 million voters. That guy.
I don't recall.
Isn't that the favorite? Didn't Hillary say that a lot when she was confronted with her emails?
I believe so.
I don't recall.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you got when they're trying to get the most effective attorney general in the country. Get rid of him, the deep state. And they may be very successful at it. Texas legislature. Texas, very conservative. No, they're not. They're not. You got rhinos in the legislature like you have rhinos every place else. We had the last show, in fact, we had, I don't have it in front of me, but some group rated how often the Republicans voted conservative and the Democrats voted liberal in each state house. And you think Texas, well, the Republicans would be right up there voting conservative. No, Texas was number 17 out of 50 states for Republicans sticking together to vote for conservative stuff. Mm-hmm. That means there's 16 other states where Republicans are more conservative than in Texas. Mm-hmm. And one problem we have is our own state rep in a lot of our listening area, Andrew Murr. Andrew Murr joined 61 Democrats to impeach Ken Paxton. So, don't think just because he has an R after his name, or anybody, that they're good guys, they're conservatives. Murr has a lot. He's been censured by the Bandera Republican Party, Bandera County Republican Party. He has been censured for that and for several other things that they say violate the principles of the Republican Party. He's voted against school choice. So, and I'm talking about State Representative Andrew Murr. So,
who we supported when he was first.
Yeah, we had a yard
running.
Sign. We did stuff for him. But new Mueller. Hope he gets primaried. Anybody listening and wants to be a state rep, wants to run, and you might think about that. It's not too early. Not too early to think about that. Well, here is something that Allison and I found that really, really surprised us. And there's no introduction necessary. It's pretty self-explanatory. But it explains, for example, how Bidenomics has made us all stronger. That's what the White House tells us. Bidenomics is strengthening the country. And, it certainly made me stronger. I can now carry $70 worth of groceries with my pinky.
Oh. are in a silent depression. When you compare the Great Depression to today, this is going to absolutely blow your mind. In 1930, during the Great Depression, the average home in America was $3,900. The average car was $600. And the average monthly rent was $18 or $216 a year. And the average salary was $1,300 for the year. Fast forward to today, it is $436,000 for the average home, $48,000 for the average car, and the average rent is $2,000 a month or $24,000 a year, and we have a $56,000 income for the average American right now. So if you look back to the Great Depression, the house was only three times the average salary. Now it is eight times the average salary. The car was 46% of the salary. The car today is 85% of the salary. And here's the craziest part. The rent was 16% of the average salary. It is now 42% of the average salary.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Worse than the Great Depression.
Yeah.
That's what we're living in.
Yeah.
Bidenomics. Worse than the Great Depression. You know. Senator John Kennedy, from Republican from Louisiana, said the other day, every single day reality calls and the Biden administration just hangs up. So true. Well, we're coming up on the top of the hour, and we are Bill and Allison, and we are with you for another hour. So stay with us. And we have events coming up that you'll want to know about. Things happening in the Hill Country this weekend that you and your family should be aware of, and some things you want to go to. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend. Prediction is that for today or tomorrow? It's going to be mid-80s?
Yes.
High of mid-80s?
Isn't it?
That's fabulous.
I know.
I guess autumn is in the air. Is it autumn or fall? Which is correct?
Didn't I talk about that last week? Or?
I don't know. You were doing that talking thing. We're going to come up after the top of the hour in our news with events going on in the Texas Hill Country that you will want to know about. As I said, things you can do. Excuse me, with your family, and we've got lots more coming up. Talk about the 14th Amendment and how they're trying to keep Trump off the ballot. Something absolutely shocking about Ukraine and our money, and that I certainly didn't know, and I'm betting you didn't know about it either. Some other stuff that you'll want to know about. We are Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot.
KRNH HD2, Kerrville, K27. Now, the first couple of Texas radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Very important. We're going to be talking about that as the eclipse. Two eclipses are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
One in October and one in April. And very important. Get your eclipse viewing glasses now, because they're going to be sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't use sunglasses. You can't look at it with your bare naked eye.
Especially the one in October, which is a partial eclipse. It's called a ring of fire.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually see the sun the entire time.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be staring at the sun. Very, very important to have eclipse
which
glasses.
Reminds me of a story. It comes from, I think, Mishra, the Jewish book. And a king once asked a rabbi, well, why should I believe in your God? You know, how, prove it to me. And the rabbi said, okay, your highness, but first stare at the sun for 1 minute. And, of course, the king looked and immediately put his eyes down. He said, I can't do that. And he said, so you cannot look at the sun for more than a second without averting your eyes, and yet the sun is one of God's lesser significant creations. So how can you say, show me God? Isn't that a good story?
Mm-hmm, yeah. That is. Well, okay, speaking of the sun, I guess we're talking about local events, but ERCOT, we have another problem with ERCOT. They say in October for the annular Ring of Fire eclipse.
Which just doesn't mean annual. Just call it the Ring of Fire eclipse.
Yeah,
that's confusing.
Exactly. Yeah. I know it is. But the Ring of Fire eclipse, which is October 14th here in Hill Country, ERCOT is now saying, oops, folks, we're going to have an energy crisis because of a ring of fire eclipse.
An energy crisis, but we're going to have an eclipse?
Yes, exactly. That's what ERCOT is saying.
Oh, because it'll be dark, so people turn their lights on? And they can't handle that?
I have no idea. And that's just for the ring of fire eclipse. That's not for the full solar eclipse, which is in April.
ERCOT. Mm-hmm. The Electric Reliability Council of Texas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They nobody told them that when it gets cold, wind turbines freeze up.
Uh-huh.
And they don't work. And when it gets hot, the hotter it gets,
the wind doesn't blow.
The wind doesn't blow. Hello. It's because they don't know Texas.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know why they don't know Texas?
Because they don't live in Texas.
Well, they all claim to live in I've looked it up. All the directors of ERCOT claim to live in Texas. I'm just saying they claim to live in Texas. That the chairman of the Reliability Committee of the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, ERCOT, the chairman of the Reliability Committee is chairman of the board of the Pacific Gas and Electric Company. Now, do you know where Pacific Gas and Electric Company is located?
California.
California! Not Texas. Serves the northern two-thirds of California. And he's chairman of the board of PG&E, yet he's the chairman of the ERCOT Reliability Committee in Texas. Explain that to me. We've invited him on the show. Two invitations have gone out to ERCOT saying we'd like to invite this gentleman on the show because I'd like to learn how to multitask.
You're stupid. Really, really stupid.
I would like to learn how this guy multitasks like this. Be chairman of the board of PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, and be chairman of the Reliability Council of ERCOT in Texas. I would like to know his secret. We've invited him twice, and they are not responding.
Since we call him stupid, I doubt if he'll show up.
Yeah, well, we didn't call him stupid. You just played a little song. Just a little musical interlude. We did not call him stupid. He can't be stupid. He's chairman of the board of PG&E runs a lot of ERCOT. No, I'm sure he's a very smart guy. But I'd like to learn how to multitask like that. And we've asked him twice to come on the show, and he hasn't responded. I don't know.
Well, have you ever noticed when you get an invitation, unless clothing is noted as casual, it refers to the man's attire. And what?
It does?
Yeah.
Clothing optional?
No. No. Okay, for example, we just got an invitation recently, and an event that takes place at, guess where?
The Egg Barn.
And it did not say what kind of attire.
If there doesn't say what kind of attire, it always means clothing optional.
good point. But anyway, it does not refer to the woman's attire. It refers to the man's. Okay, for example, black tie, business suit, business casual. And that's because men's clothing is much more, I don't want to say rigid, but much more well-defined. For example, you know, I can wear pants and a nice top, and whereas another woman is wearing a dress. So women's dress is all over the board. So saying black tie tells me one thing. Saying business suit tells me something else. Business casual, something else. But that gives me an idea how to dress. Being a guy, you probably never noticed things like that.
I just throw whatever clothes on that are on top of the pile on the floor is what I do.
But we're going to an event at the Ag Barn, and I don't know what the attire is.
Well, okay. I'm sure we'll know by the time it comes around.
Uh-huh.
All righty. Well, that's good. Oh, golly. We got so much to talk about.
I know.
I don't know where to start.
You know, we've just been talking about the two eclipses. Mm-hmm. October 14th for the Ring of Fire eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
And the total eclipse of the sun is April the 8th. And if you look at a map, and this is really a big deal. This is very unusual. But if you look at a map for both eclipses, there's a humongous X throughout the United States. and Hill Country is right smack dab in the middle.
Well, now the X, I've seen that, what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It shows the path of each of the two eclipses across mm-hmm. the United States, and they cross in mm-hmm. Hill Country.
Exactly.
So we'll be able to see the height of both eclipses right here in Hill Country.
Exactly. And both of them are going to last about 4.5 minutes, which people think, oh, that's no big deal. Well, 4.5 minutes is about the height that it's going to be in the United States. Everywhere else in the United States, as it goes farther north, it's going to be, or farther south, depending which eclipse, it gets shorter and shorter. I mean, some parts of the country, it's only going to be about a minute. Hmm. And it's such a big deal that NASA is going to be here in Kerrville broadcasting.
Wow.
But both eclipses.
Wow.
Yeah. And on October 14th, which is the Ring of Fire eclipse, Gold Star Camp is having a fundraiser, and it's for a donation. Participants can view the Ring of Fire eclipse in the beautiful natural setting at Echo Hill, and there will be lunch. You can swim, hike, feed the horses, and you can go to the website, which is echohill.org, and overnight stay is an option.
Cool.
And that includes Echo Hill eclipse glasses.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So when will that be?
That's October 14th.
Okay. So you go now to get tickets at echohill.org?
Exactly. Or info@echohill.org.
No, that'd be an email address.
Right.
Okay.
So you can go to the website, echohill.org, or email info@echohill.org.
Okay.
And Bill was talking about eclipse glasses. We already have our own.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because we are having two eclipses, we got pretty decent.
Yeah, we got good ones. But you know,
primo.
You can spend a few bucks. I saw some for sale at Gibson's in Kerrville the other day.
Good. Okay.
So there, you can go to Gibson's. You can go online, but get them because you don't want to wreck your eyes. And
yeah.
Make sure your kids have them because
mm-hmm.
kids will look at the sun, you know, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. think they're.
Especially when something unusual is happening, people are going to look at it.
Exactly.
And you can get cardboard ones for about $2.
Mm-hmm. And they'll work.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, they'll be fine. I spent about $15 and got what look like regular sunglasses. Of course, they aren't, but...
No, you can't see anything.
No, you can't see a thing. but I figure for two eclipses, you know, we're going to be wearing them a lot. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I sprung for the fancy ones.
Did you hear, by the way, about this Minnesota Democrat official who, in Minnesota, it's called the DFL, Democrat Farmer Labor Party. It's a Democrat party. They just have a different name for it up there. For a long time, she has called for the dismantling of the Minneapolis Police Department. Well, guess what? She was mugged by reality. Literally, she was attacked and got beaten and bloodied in a carjacking outside her home. And she went on Facebook and fumed, quote, "I have a broken leg, deep lacerations on my head, bruising and cuts all over my body. I have rage." She said the beating occurred in front of her 4-year-old daughter and 7-year-old son. Quote, "These men knew what they were doing. I have no doubt they have done this before, yet they are still on our streets, killing mothers, giving babies psychological trauma that a lifetime of therapy cannot ease, with no hesitation and no remorse. And now she's calling for tougher crime laws." Why? Because it happened to her. Before, get rid of the police department. She was in the forefront of getting rid of the police department in Minneapolis. I've got a tweet from her in 2020. Quote, "We are going to dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department. Say it with me. Dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department." Yeah. She's not saying that anymore. She's not. In fact, she thanked what she called the incredible Minneapolis Police Department for assisting in this carjacking. It's a far cry from her attitude toward law enforcement before. She said that Minneapolis Police Department has systematically failed the black community, is what she used to say. To get rid of it. So that's changing her tune. As I say, she was mugged by reality. Now, you know, that brings up a point. We were in England a few weeks ago. Had the wonderful opportunity to go to England. And we stayed in a little town, Newbury, England, and a nice little hotel, not a big one at all, little mom-and-pop hotel, motel. A motel, not a hotel, really. And there was a girl behind the receptionist, the only one, and she and I got to talking. She was 17 or 18, and she's very sweet. Her name was Millie, and she said to me, and I was ready for this, because before we went, our friend Brian Murphy from Fredericksburg, very good friend, who has traveled all over the world, does a lot of international travel, and he said, there are two things people are going to ask you in foreign countries. One is, why the heck did you people vote for Trump? And the second is, do you own a gun? So Millie asked me, do you own a gun? And I was ready for it. I said, no. I own, I think, 17 now. counting shotguns and rifles, more than that. And she was like, what? And I explained to her that, you know, somebody, say, breaks into your house in the middle of the night, and you call 911, how long is it going to take for them to get there? I told her, you know, a bullet is a lot faster than 911. But she, you know, I couldn't penetrate. It was beyond her thought as to what happened. Mm-hmm. And I gave her the arguments.
They just don't get it.
I gave her the, you know, typical arguments about criminals and all that. But which brings up a point. Why are there no gun violence crises, or virtually none, in rural America? MAGA-land. You know, if you took out the big cities in America from the crime statistics, the United States would have one of the lowest crime violence statistics in the world. But if you took out the cities, for example, if gun control ends gun violence, why is there so much terrible gun violence where there's the most gun control? For example, Chicago.
Washington, D.C.
Oh, well, yeah. Washington, D.C. has never had a Republican mayor, ever. Chicago, the last Republican mayor was 1931. Philadelphia, only Democrat mayor since 1952. Houston has one Republican mayor since 1974. San Antonio, leftists have run that, it's nonpartisan, but leftists have run that city for over two decades. I think the last sane mayor was Phil Hartberger. Los Angeles, one Republican mayor since 1961. St. Louis, only Democrat mayor since 1949. New Orleans has had Democrat mayors since 1872. 1872. They've all been Democrat mayors. Same with Atlanta, run by Democrats since 1879. Every one of America's most murderous cities has been run exclusively by Democrats for decades, and in the case of the last couple, for a century. And how's it possible, by the way, that all these progressive cities filled with all these progressive citizens and progressive political leadership, right? They were progressive. It sounds good. You know, we're all for progress. Exactly. No, they're liberal. They're socialists, communists. Right. How come these cities are so full of violence and racism? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Rural America has a serious drug problem, but unlike Democrat-run cities, we have none of the murder, the gangs, the gun violence, the carjacking, or the homeless stuff that goes with it. No riots, no looting. So we take care of our environment. We're not a toxic waste dump like so many Democrat-run cities are. So if you guys, if you're listening and you're from a Democrat big city, you want to live with, and you know, you might be listening at hillcountrypatriot.com or firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. So if you want to live with violence and filth and pollution and racism and hate crimes and crap-covered sidewalks and riots and gangs and mashed homeless encampments, you got every right to do so. I don't care how you live your miserable life, because out here In rural Magaland, life is sweet. And the closest we come to your filth and crime and violence is when we watch the news. And you get what you vote for. And
shouldn't make me happy through the years. Never bring me.
Ooh, those are the Jive Aces. We saw them in Newbury. They're friends of ours.
We did.
Jiveaces.org is the, excuse me, or com. I can't remember which. And we're Bill and Allison. We're going to be back momentarily talking about something you don't know about regarding government waste, and you'll be shocked. Back in a flash.
Welcome back. Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, or First Couple of TexasRadio.com.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that that we now have a new terminology in our government lexicon?
No.
For years, we have had UFOs. Which are what?
Unidentified flying objects.
Yes. Now, we no longer have UFOs. They are now UAPs.
UAPs?
Unidentified anomalous phenomena.
Why do we have to change that?
Good question. That's a very good question.
Hmm.
I mean, I have no idea. They're collecting better data. They have been finding some information that does lead to some questions about whether there are UFOs out there. And this is, the government has been very mysterious about this for, 70 years? I mean, this has been just talked about for many, many years. And the government has been very, very quiet about it. So we don't really know what's going on out there. But now they've changed the term, UAP. what was wrong with UFO? The unidentified flying object, of course, that made sense. I mean, we didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. It didn't say it was from outer space. It just said it was unidentified. But now it has to be a UAP.
Because it's the government. They have to have acronyms for everything.
Well, UFO was an acronym.
That's true.
But now it's UAP, which means stupid.
Yes, it is. Well, on that subject, Alice and I found a very interesting interview with, got her name here somewhere, Carol Rosin, R-O-S-I-N. She was the one of the first, or maybe the first, female aerospace engineers ever. She was a very close friend of Wernher von Braun, Dr. Wernher von Braun. If you don't know who Dr. Wernher von Braun was, he was a founding member of NASA. He was a brilliant, he was called, he had three nicknames, the father of space travel, the father of the U.S. lunar program, and the father of rocket science. He was an actual rocket scientist.
Wasn't it Alamogordo?
I don't know. See, you do this to me. I don't know if he was at Alamogordo or not.
I thought he was at Alamogordo.
Probably was, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean the Trinity site where the first A-bomb was set up.
Exactly.
You might be thinking of Oppenheimer, but I don't know. He probably was.
Okay,
I'm sure.
Okay,
yes, okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he was there.
Allison. You might be right.
He was there, Allison, yeah. Well, Carol Rosin, who was a good friend of von Braun's, she was his actually press spokesman for a long time, just because they're friends. And he told her something that is absolutely stunning. Now, Wernher von Braun knew more about space travel and about what's out there in space than anybody, okay? And Carol Rosin, who's still living, told an interviewer what Wernher von Braun told her, and we have the audio. Allison and I have the audio for it. This is Carol Rosin.
The strategy that Wernher von Braun taught me was that first the Russians are going to be considered to be the enemy. In fact, when I met him in 74, they were the enemy, the identified enemy. We were told that they had killer satellites. We were told that they were coming to get us and control us, the dirty commies, that whole story. First, the Russians were the enemy against whom we're going to build space-based weapons. Then terrorists would be identified, and that was soon to follow. We heard a lot about terrorism. Then we were going to identify third world country crazies. We now call them nations of concern. But he said that would be the third enemy against whom we would be needing to build space-based weapons. And the next enemy was asteroids. Now, at this point, he kind of chuckled the first time he said it. Asteroids, against asteroids, we're going to build space-based weapons. So it was funny then. And the funniest one of all was against what he called aliens, extraterrestrials. That would be the final card. And over and over and over, during the 4 years that I knew him and was giving his speeches for him, he would bring up that last card. And remember, Carol, the last card is the alien card. We're going to have to build space-based weapons against aliens. And all of it, he said, is a lie. He didn't mention a timeline, but he said that it was going to be speeding up faster than anybody could possibly imagine. That the effort to put weapons in space was not only based on a lie, but would accelerate past the point of people even understanding it until it was already up there and too late.
So Wernher von Braun, who knew more about space travel and space than anybody, number one, did not believe they were aliens. And UFO, you know, he believed there were UFOs, but he didn't believe there were aliens. And as she said, he said, we're going to have to build space weapons against aliens, and all of it is a lie.
I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me.
Thank you, George Carlin. The CIA director, former CIA director under Ronald Reagan, William Casey, who was a bad guy, because every CIA director has to be a bad guy. He said, and he was quoted by Sarah McLendon, who was a very well-known and very respected White House correspondent. CIA director William Casey said, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the U.S. public believes is false. We will know." In other words, we will know we've accomplished our goal when everything the people in the United States believes is false. CIA director. Okay? So there you are. There you are. You know, I mean, it's all about control. It's all about lying to us. I think if we knew a small percentage of what we believe to be true is actually false, we would be stunned. And it's a lot bigger percentage than that. You know, it's all about control. World Economic Forum, whatever groups are behind them, it's all about control. These people are power mad and they're money mad. You know, think about it. Why do they want to put smart meters in your home for electric? It sounds innocuous, doesn't it? So they don't have to come and look. Why smart meters in your home? Well, they can control how much electricity you use. They can turn them on and off or slow them down.
Mm-hmm.
Why electric vehicles? Why digital currency? All the same reason. It's all control. They can turn them off whenever they want. If you have an electric vehicle, but you can't charge it, even the government in California says don't charge them.
Right. Because they don't have enough electricity.
Yeah, it's all about control. They can control them. They can control smart meters, your electric, your vehicle, your digital currency. They can just turn them off whenever they want. It's all about control. All about control. Well, speaking of weird stuff going on, I got so much to talk about. I don't know how we're going to get through it. What do you got, Allison? You got something you want to add to this?
Craziness,
yeah.
Okay, customers of an Austin coffee shop lined up for cups of award-winning Panamanian Black Jaguar coffee that cost $150 each. for a
cup of coffee?
Of coffee.
Oh, only in Austin would they do that. They'd really? Line up for that.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Seriously. I mean, I wouldn't pay that much for a drink of alcohol.
That's the same place. Well, of course not. That's the same place at Austin where you asked a waitress for a straw and she practically called the police.
I know. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, the same town that outlaws straws gives out needles to drug addicts.
Yeah.
You know there's a problem in your town if that happens, right? You know there's a problem in your town. Well, I promised a rather shocking story, and I think it's time to tell you about it. A couple of things, actually, are shocking about it. Did you know that the U.S.-funded war in Ukraine costs more in one day than Biden has sent, of all the money that Biden is sending to Maui? Costs more in one day than any help we're giving to Maui because of their fire.
Which is one of our states.
Which is in the state of the United States, to Hawaii, absolutely. The Ukraine's defense minister says a day of war costs us $100 million. But Biden is sending $95 million to Hawaii, less than 0.1% of the money he's sending to Ukraine. You know, so far, we're sending $233 million per day now to Ukraine. We send $233 million per day to Ukraine. The defense minister says the war is costing him $100 million. What's happened on the $123 million a day? What do you think?
Very good question.
And Biden recently said the U.S. is spending more than all other nations combined on Ukraine.
So why? Why? What? Why are you?
Because he wants to secure their border.
Yeah.
Never mind about our border.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to secure their border. I'm glad you brought up that question, Allison. He wants to secure their border. There are 19,000 border agents in the United States. There are 175,000 IRS agents.
Mm-hmm.
Six or eight times, actually, as many agents to target American citizens than to target drug cartels and human trafficking. You know, illegal aliens sent $56 billion in cash to their home countries last year alone from the United States. That's after their kids got free education, free lunches, free medical care paid for by guess who?
You and me.
Yeah. Coming back, we've got we got something you never knew about 9/11. I never knew about 9/11. I guarantee you haven't either. We're Bill and Allison. We'll be back just before you know it.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison. HillCountryPatriot.com and FirstCoupleOfTexasRadio.com.
Your information station for the entire Hill Country. And you can tune us in 24/7 at FirstCoupleOfTexasRadio.com. We also have a real estate investment site if you're interested in that. That's called PaperSourceOnline.com. PaperSource, S-O-U-R-C-E, online.com.
That's our day job.
That's our day job. Do you know that the FDA approved a new COVID booster? They're including for children and encouraging everyone to get this new COVID booster, even though there have been zero clinical trials.
I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me.
And that goes to the FDA and WHO, I tell you. Well, something that I didn't know, Allison didn't know, and it's pretty darn shocking. It has to do with 9/11.
Oh, nothing would surprise me.
Yeah. the Secretary of Defense at the time was Donald Rumsfeld, former congressman from North Shore in Chicago area. And Rumsfeld said, and I didn't know this, Allison didn't know this, nobody that I know of remembers this or knew about it. He said on September 10th, 2001, the day before 9/11, just literally one day before 9/11, Rumsfeld went on TV and announced that we just couldn't account for a missing $2.3 trillion.
Our financial systems are decades old. According to some estimates, we cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions. We cannot share information from floor to floor in this building because it's stored on dozens of different technological systems that are inaccessible or incompatible.
That's Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense at the time, one day before September 11th, saying, well, they're stored in the computers, but, you know, computers are old, and we don't know what happened to $2.3 trillion, with a T, dollars. Where do you suppose those records were stored, Allison?
Was that Building 7?
No, not in Building 7, although that's a good guess. The Office of Naval Intelligence at the Pentagon, exactly where the airplane or whatever it was hit the mm-hmm. Pentagon the next
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
And the money trail was lost.
Mm-hmm.
$2.3 billion.
Trillion.
Trillion, I'm sorry, thank you. $2.3 trillion. You know, they said, never forget. We're not going to forget. But the truth has never come out about 9/11, has it? Mm-hmm. You mentioned Building 7. A lot of people don't know mm-hmm. about Building 7.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has ever been explained how a building collapsed hours after.
It was taken down.
Of course it was taken down. It was, in fact.
No, I think they admit it was taken down.
Okay, I'll tell you exactly.
Okay.
The man who leased the World Trade Center, and I'm going by memory, I can't remember his name, Larry something, is on videotape saying that he ordered the demolition of Building 7.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to do with the attack on the Twin Towers.
It was just after.
It was hours after.
Right, right.
And he said, yeah, I ordered it. He said, I thought it was kind of a dangerous thing, and we pulled it down. Well, that's where a lot of tax records were. There was a lot of insider trading on the airline stock right before 9/11, because somebody knew what was going to happen. That airline stock, of course, tanked after 9/11, mm-hmm. United Airlines, whatever. And there was a lot of insider trading, a lot of hinky stuff going on. All those records were destroyed because they were in Building 7.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody was ever brought to justice. As I said, it's
I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that's if we were aware of a fraction of what we think is true, we found out it's not. Much less what, everything? Almost everything?
Right.
Scary, scary stuff, isn't it, Allison?
Yes.
Scary stuff.
Yes, it is.
What you got?
Did I tell you the other day a TV crew in Chicago set out to document the overwhelming crime and theft
in Chicago?
In Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And their camera was stolen, so they couldn't air the footage.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Well, do you know that, speaking of Chicago, I'm glad you brought up Chicago, because I have a story about Chicago.
Oh, good.
We have
good.
The time for it.
Sure.
Let's see. It's at 126. Yeah, these are residents of Chicago who voted for Biden, I'm sure. It's all, pretty much all the way on the left at the bottom. Pretty much, you know, you're going to hear Biden voters. I'm convinced of it. Here they are talking about what's happening in their neighborhoods because of Biden's open border policy.
Now you want to overly compensate for people who never lived here before?
Why would any leader put our black communities already riddled with crime at further risk by placing unvetted non-taxpayers steps away from our seniors, our children, and our homes we've worked so hard on our own to secure?
We are at war, people. Our communities are at war. They are violating our communities.
I did get placed on a wait list, but I was told that the immigrants were taking priority. See, that's a story that a lot of people don't know, and it hurt me. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I understand we need to be humanitarian, but these people are, that my participant are third and fourth generation Chicagoans, born, bred, fed, and raised here. My grandmother, Mayrella Carrington, rest in peace, always said, Craig, charity starts at home first, and then it go abroad.
Politically, having over 500 people in our community would completely wipe out any interest we have.
Many of these migrants have been dumped in our neighborhoods without a plan in place to monitor and house them long term.
That's right.
Yeah, that's Chicago. That's going on in black communities in Chicago and all communities in Chicago. I was telling Allison the other day, if we have to fly anywhere, hopefully not, but if we have to fly anywhere, let's not fly into O'Hare Airport.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to a flood of Biden's illegal aliens, O'Hare Airport looks like a scene from Mad Max. More than 400 illegals are being housed at O'Hare Airport.
Sleeping in sleeping bags?
Sleeping in sleeping bags.
On the floor.
Yeah, homeless Americans get thrown into the streets while people who broke into our country illegally are taken care of. You know? The mayor, the new mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, didn't make any secret of the fact he was to the left of Lori Lightfoot, which is hard to believe. He made it clear he's going to destroy the city to turn it into a third world hellhole, and he's just keeping his promises.
We used to go to Chicago, once a year.
Yeah. I mean, how exactly, I used to live there. How does an airport qualify as a shelter? It's 400 people. You need toilets, showers, laundry, food. You can't just stick them in a corner of an airport and leave them there. I mean, clothes, bedding, feeding them, 3 meals a day for 400 people. That's 1,200 meals a day, 8,400 a week. Are you kidding me?
And where's that money coming from?
Chicago and Illinois and American taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's coming from. Wow. Well, let's see. I'm about ready to wrap up the Bill and Allison Show. We're here from 8 to 10 every Saturday morning and sometimes during the week when they need us. And we're happy that you chose to join us today. You can catch us at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com as well. And remember, a few things going on in Hill Country you need to know about. Neighborhood picnic tomorrow at Carver Park in Kerrville. Neighboring churches come together for a combined worship service and a free meal, music, games, and fellowship. So make sure you go to that tomorrow in Carver Park. Ingram Volunteer Fire Department has an open house today from 9 to 3. Meet the members. Support your volunteer fire department. Barbecue plates starting at noon. Lots of stuff going on. K-Star's second annual chili cook-off is today from 10 to 5 at the Hill Country Youth Events Center. It's a family fun day. There's all sorts of things going on.
Egg Barn.
At the Egg Barn. All to support K-Star Emergency Children's Shelter and Family Counseling. A good, good project. Isn't it, Allison?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yes, it is. And we're going to a dinner there, and I don't know if it's black tie or not.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out. Well, it's been fun. Allison, thank you. You did a great job engineering and talking.
Thank you, Bill.
As I say, we'll be back, but you can catch us at the First Couple of Texas Radio anytime you like. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths.